welcome to Argue With Us from GameIndustry.com. I'm Shella.
I'm Drew, and together we're arguing about the things that really matter in games.
Indeed we are. Today we are talking about Inside.
Yep. Inside, the 2D sort of platform puzzle.
Dystopian.
Yeah. Follow-up to Limbo by Playdead in the studio, which was it announced at this year? No, it wasn't announced at this year's
E3.
It was what we discussed it after E3, but it's been in development for quite a while, about 7 years, I think, since Limbo.
It was two, three E3s ago, perhaps, that we saw a glimpse of it on the Xbox stage.
Yeah.
So we both you finished it last night.
I did.
I finished it earlier in the week or something. Mm. So what did you think?
Well, I had mixed feelings. On the whole, I liked it. I wouldn't say I really liked it. I'm not going to put it in the pantheon of games that I really really love, but I thought it was a very interesting, if short, experience.
Yeah.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, I really liked it as well. I really enjoyed the atmosphere, I think, is the thing that really works immediately from the second the boy drops in from screen left.
Yeah. It's got some really interesting, sort of really good visual design. If you compare it to Limbo, and it's definitely a step up, it's much more sort of muted. There's definitely a lot more sort of technical graphical stuff going on. It's very pretty, very well rendered and well designed, and
and well animated and everything.
Absolutely.
It's kind of sparse but detailed in a way as well, in terms of the physics and the things that are there are really kind of meaningful, and it was great.
It very much feels like a refinement of Limbo to the furthest point that it can get, really. You know, it's taken that game and sort of crafted it and perfected it into something that's really sort of just visually, it's got itself together. It's coherent, and I thought it was very, very pretty and very good.
Yeah, it was. And so so it's basically a 2D, if you've played Limbo, it's fairly similar to Limbo in the fact that it's a 2D, even in terms of story, vaguely, it's a small boy in a big dark world with various puzzles that he has to traverse. He's on some sort of mission. We don't know what it is.
Yeah.
We know that he's being chased by men in trucks.
Yeah.
We see at the beginning there are sort of lorries. It's almost like a sort of Holocaust, horrible nightmare vision of people being sort of filed into lorries at night and taken away to some big sort of industrial type facility.
Yeah. I think at this point we should sort of define our spoiler policy for this, because we are going to talk about the ending, and there is stuff to spoil, so we'll do that at the end. And I think we'll just say beforehand and clearly mark where the actual spoiler stuff begins. I don't think anything that you mentioned there is spoiler worthy, but we'll say so before we start reading things.
So it's basically a puzzler. All we know is he's running to somewhere and from some people.
Yes, I mean that's definitely what the first sort of. The first level of the game sort of gets that across very clearly, is that you seem to be fleeing something.
But you're also running towards the danger.
Yes.
Because you're running in the same direction as the lorries of people are going.
Yeah, that's true. That's something that I didn't notice on my phone, like when I was going through it. But then thinking back on it a year later in the game, you think, oh yeah, they were coming from a different direction.
So it's really, because there's loads of questions thrown up, which is, you know, the sort of key of good storytelling. It's like, you know, where is he running from, and what's he running to, and why is he running there? And I always thought he must be going to find someone, or there's someone that's got in the lorries that he wants to find, and you know, that it's like a sort of rescue mission of some sort. I don't know what you thought.
I think I would, like,
your expectation was.
What I had in my head was that this boy had escaped from some facility or some horrible, building and was just trying to flee to safety. I don't think I think it was quite a while before I thought, oh, maybe there's something else going on here.
Okay, I think it was just because he was going in the same direction as the people that I thought, okay, he's got out, but he's having to go back or whatever just to get somebody. So yeah, that was my expectation.
I mean that something I really liked about it was that it's a wordless game. There's no sort of dialogue, there's no incidental text, but it is very good at as we've just discussed, as you're going through it, it shows you stuff that makes you ask questions on your own, and you sort of it never quite explains the plot at all,
No.
but there is stuff there to latch onto and say, oh, I see, I think this is what's happening, but it's very ethereal and not strictly defined, which I think very good.
No.
But it's good at making you piece together things yourself, something which Dark Souls happens to also be very good at, which I picked up on. Yeah, so I don't think it does it as well as Dark Souls, to be honest.
Okay.
But yeah, I did like that.
Yeah. And I think sort of in terms of influences, I'd say sort of George Orwell's sort of Animal Farm was something that came to me, quite immediately, where he comes across the kind of farmyard and there are stacks of dead pigs, sort of carcasses and things. And it's a dark world for a small boy to be running through,
It is,
basically.
yes.
It's an abandoned world.
You think it's certainly as you
Well,
get.
it's kind of, there's no life, is there, apart from the people, the sort of ruling, I don't know, regime or whatever.
Yeah, I suppose so. There are dogs, and there are a couple of those pigs who did survive, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
And as you progress further into the story, you do see more. I guess you would say they're humans, as compared to the human-like creatures that you run across.
But I mean, there's, he's in a forest and there's no bird song, or there's no, it's not like Limbo where there are spiders and whatnot sort
That
of
spider.
creeping about.
Don't go into that bit.
So I mean, there are piles of dead pigs, but
Yes.
that's not a normal farmyard. They're either alive or they've been slaughtered and they're hung up to, whatever they do, drain or
Yeah,
I
and where Limbo was
don't know.
very natural, and say there was a giant spider, and there were other animals that were foes and things that could assist you. This seems like this might be what the world of Limbo is like if the ending level, where it was a bit more sort of industrialized, has spread to the entire, the entire area of it.
I haven't played the whole of Limbo. I've only played the demo. So, I mean, Limbo to me feels more like a fairy tale, and this is like a dark sort of future nightmare.
As you get through Limbo, the man-made structures do start appearing. There are signs and buildings and stuff, but this is much more. There's much more of that in Inside.
It's almost like he's continued on into that world or into that future or something. But then there were the little living creatures. There was sort of a Studio Ghibli moment with the little, I don't know if they were like chicks or, that's kind of like the dust devil
Yeah,
things
I'd forgotten
from
about that.
Spirited Away.
Yes.
These little things that kind of swarm around you and kind of help you. And that was really
It would have
lovely.
been nice if you'd seen those things more than once, which I really had those. And I was really worried that I was killing them when I solved that puzzle. The thing you lead them to looks like a wood chipper.
It's like, well, I need to get up that wall, so needs must.
Yes.
But then don't you get some rats later on that have the same behavior pattern?
Yeah, I
Aren't
think
there
maybe
something else?
it
Yeah,
does
but
come
it's
up
not
again, but
the same little, they were just little sort of fluffy blobs, weren't they? They were cool. So yeah, I wish you had come up with met them again, because it was quite a little bit of a lift in the dark world. In terms of kind of level design, puzzle design, I think it's Yeah, brilliant, really. And the way it uses physics, like the water sections are really incredible. Like some of them are really annoying, but because there's the dam, sort of water sprite
Yeah,
kind of creature.
sadical looking thing.
Yeah, and yeah, she's really annoying.
She moves from being very scary to very irritating very quickly.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. Yeah, those bits were annoying. But I really like the way later on it plays with water and how
Yes.
I wonder if we could should kind of spoiler warn this because I think it's a lovely bit where you discover
Yeah, all right. So
how water works.
let's cut that off there and say from
Yeah,
here on out,
yeah.
where we'll be sort of talking about the ending, talking about the later half of the game. We'll start with puzzle mechanics and
Yeah,
talk
yeah,
about the story at the
yeah.
end.
And yeah, even the puzzle mechanics are a bit of a spoiler because some of them are really cool reveals.
As they should be in a good puzzle game, I think.
Yeah. So now spoilers. So yeah, the way they use the water and flip the physics. So you'll be walking along on the ground and you pull a switch and water kind of comes down from the ceiling
Yes.
or goes up to the ceiling, and so the surface of the water is like in the middle of the room, and you can jump up into the water and then start swimming. And I mean, I just thought that was brilliant.
Yeah. And it leads to
Switch
some really
changes it.
interesting puzzles as well. There's that one with the switch which
Yeah.
raises and lowers the water and you use the
Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah.
I really enjoyed
Yeah.
that.
That was my favorite puzzle, I think, because I could do it. It took me a while to figure out, but it was so pleasing to figure out, because I knew I could do it. Whereas a lot, I said to you before we started the show, some of the puzzles I just knew I would never have got, even when I knew the solution. I was like, no, my brain just didn't get that at all.
Well, we were talking about this, but I sort of didn't have that experience, and most of the puzzle I can't remember a puzzle I got. Oh, the only puzzle I got really stuck on, it's not really even really a puzzle, was the bit where you go into sort of what's like it's kind of like a shark cage, and you get dropped into the water, and you have to get out of it before you drown. And it's not even really a puzzle; you just have to kind of grab the edge of it and lift it up. But it's very difficult to tell that. And I got stuck there for quite a while. I was like, "What am I supposed to do? I'm just drowning here."
I don't even remember
Now, well, you probably solved it easily in this
that. Okay,
tutorial.
I just swam out and went on my merry way.
But
Yeah.
I thought just on the whole, the game's got some like it's got really interesting puzzle design, and for a game
Yeah.
that never talks to you, that's completely wordless, it communicates like some quite complex ideas and mechanics really well, and then it's good at doing variations on those mechanics. Like for
Yeah.
example, you've got the boxes that you pull the lever on, and then 5 seconds later they jump. Yeah, there's some really good stuff later on where you have to sort of do two of those at once, time
Stack them up
very.
and
Very well,
yeah.
and those puzzles are very satisfying to solve.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
it communicate. I thought it communicated the puzzle solutions very well as well. As you try things, the game
Yeah.
shows you what the next step is, and
Okay.
it sort of
So
leads you to it in a very sort of.
the one that got me, sorry to interrupt, is the you're in a pool, you come out of the pool and there's a dog, and then there's a wall that's too high or something, or you can never outrun the dog.
All right, yes, I know the one.
And then you have to go back in the like lure the dog into the pool and sort of out swim the dog, like swim under the dog.
All
I was
right,
just like,
yeah.
I'd never have got that.
Oh, fair enough. Well, I mean, I can't remember that specific puzzle. There's a few puzzles in the game. The dog puzzles certainly have a lot of that, luring them into the correct position and then.
Yeah, I mean, once I did that once, then I was like, okay, then I learned the kind of puzzle pattern. But yeah, I would just never have got that. I was just like, how do you do it? Because I just, it's too fast. There's nothing. Yeah, I just, I'm stuck on that one for ages. Yeah.
I mean, like I say, there were puzzles which I mean probably took me a little while, but I thought it was on the whole very easy. I didn't really feel challenged by a lot of it, which was one of my bigger disappointments with the game, to be honest.
Okay.
I mean, it depends on, how good at puzzles you are and how much of this type of game you play. But I think if you're a real puzzle fanatic, you're not going to get much out of Inside
Yeah,
the
I think that's true.
Re
I mean, I'm.
unless you go for the secret ending, but I think that's more obscure than a puzzle.
Yeah, that's just kind of secrets,
Yeah.
isn't it, really? Like hidden bits. So yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, even though I got stuck, I know it's because I don't play loads of puzzle games, or it's kind of not my thing. So I enjoy them, but I just get so stuck. I just get so frustrated. So but I agree, a puzzle person like Greg at GameIndustry.com would probably just sail through
Yeah.
that, because I could see other people's playing times, and I was like, how the hell did they do it in like 2 hours or
Yeah.
something ridiculous? I was just like, there is no way.
I mean,
Even when I knew what to do, it was like getting it done on some of the dexterity
yeah.
puzzles, whether it's checking boxes or whatever, and then you fall off, or the box flies across the room, or
Those were definitely some of my favorite puzzles in the game. I really like the box, the lever jumping box things, because you don't know quite how long they're going to take but when you are solving those puzzles, there is an element of, oh my God, am I getting it in time? And you run back and forth, and it gives a really good feel to the whole thing. Like the way I heard it described on another podcast was that it's very good at making you run along while feeling like the wheels are falling off the bus, and but you just keep going and persevere through that.
I think I would have enjoyed those kind of timing type ones better if I was playing it on Xbox with a controller.
Were you playing with a
But
keyboard? I played on PC with a controller, and
I think I do need to get a controller for my
I
PC
think it's
because
definitely, yeah, I think Inside's
it
definitely
annoys the crap.
a controller game.
Because I had to sort of design my keyboard layout. I had to go into options and really, because the way I had it laid out, I just was kind of mashing the wrong thing all the time. I was like, okay.
Oh.
So yeah, I had to kind of space everything out so that I knew when I wanted to jump, I was hitting jump and not,
Yeah.
walking into a wall or something. So yeah, I think that would have improved that sort of, those timing ones.
Yeah.
But there were loads of lovely the way puzzles kind of opened up, they sort of blossomed the puzzles,
Yeah.
because you'd sort of do one bit, and then there was like the bit with there was like a big sort of sphere thing in the middle of the room, and then you got into this kind of crane.
Oh, yes, I know the one.
So yeah, and like just yeah I just loved the whole design
I was surprised that they
of
didn't
it.
really do much with that mechanic. It shows up once. You use it basically as a lift to move from one place to another. And there is a bit later on when you where you swing on one of them. But that's basically it. And I thought, oh, there's some interesting stuff you could have done with that.
Yeah, exactly. You just like, but those sort of kind of moments where you're like in a new, bigger space, and you're like, oh, cool, I've got like a thing. Yeah, so those are really nice. And then what was the other one I was just going to mention? And then there was the one where they used the weight of the. Okay, so you have these little helmets that you can jump into, and then it means you can control.
Yeah.
I suppose it's the mindless people that they're putting into the lorries.
Yes.
And I thought that was brilliant, and quite funny as well, because you're there like marching in midair, and then these people are kind of shambling, and you can go and collect more. And
And again, they do some really cool variations on that puzzle. And when it goes, you start with doing that, and then it goes two helmets deep, and then yeah. Cool. We should sort of try not to spoil every puzzle solution
No,
just for
yeah,
people who are listening and
no.
haven't played the game. But yeah, I thought that was good.
Yeah, well, we have done the spoiler barrier, so I'm assuming the people that are with us now
We
have played it
yeah
or
yeah
don't
we
care
have.
because they've watched a Let's Play.
If you've gotten this far and we just spoiled the solution for you, it's your own fault as far as I'm concerned.
So, and then in like with the puzzles as well, I thought the soundtrack was brilliant.
Yeah, I didn't notice it, to be honest. It kind of just blended into the background for me. I didn't pay that much attention to it.
Yeah, and I think that is because it worked so well. Because I was basically playing it on my laptop with sort of
Yep.
earbuds in, and I was watching the news or something, so I kind of pulled one out or pulled them out and thought, oh, I'll just play it without the sound so I can listen to Jon Snow. And then I was like, oh, it kind of, all the tension goes away, and the tension, a lot of the tension is created by the music,
yeah.
which gives you this kind of heartbeat, and kind of speeds up when you're supposed to be doing something that's quite dexterous and then you can't do it. But if you do it without the sound, things become a lot easier.
Oh, right.
So I think...
I mean, I think I was just wearing a pair of headphones the whole time. And
so yeah. Just it. So it does just, it is just part of it. When I took them out, I really noticed the loss, the lack of that heartbeat kind of driving my own heartbeat and sort of raising the tension. So I thought that was really clever the way they did that. And just, you know, the sort of all the noises or the lack of noise sometimes, and, you know, really added to the tension. Like, you can tell when that weird sprite girl's coming because you can hear the air bubbles against her body as she pushes through the water, and just really nice, subtle use of sound, I thought.
Yeah, definitely. When we get to discussing the actual ending, which we should in a little bit, I definitely love the sound design there, and I'm going to talk that up a bit as well, I think.
Yeah.
But before we get there, I just want to sort of like mention some of the stuff that I didn't like, because we've been swimming with praise for this game. I think we both enjoyed it. There were some bits that I wasn't massively keen on, though. The first one is that there isn't much to it. I don't know if it's 15 quid's worth of game. I've always hated the argument that games need to be X long or Y long to be, you know, to be worth the asking price. But I got 3 hours, maybe a little bit more out of 3 hours and out of Inside, and I don't think I'm ever going to play it again. I don't think there's nothing that I could go back to. I've solved all the puzzles. I know how all the mechanics work. That's it, basically. It was an evening, and I think I would have just liked there to be a bit more to it. It's it doesn't take long to see everything in Limbo unless you want to go. Sorry, not Limbo, Inside. Although Limbo has a sort of similar issue, unless you want to go back and, you know, get all the secrets and see the alternate ending, which honestly I wouldn't really recommend, because you can look for it on YouTube and it's about 10 seconds long. And
I was disappointed by that when I thought I'm not playing that again. I just can't get through those water bits with that stupid girl. I just couldn't face it. And then I saw the ending and I was like, oh, I'm really glad I didn't go back and do that, because it was just so short. And
yeah, absolutely. And that was another thing. The water bits were, the game is very, due to the physics of it and the way it's designed, it's a very, so it can get a bit slow and plodding, especially in the water sections where you move quite slowly. And it's got all these bits where there's a couple of routes you can take and there's other paths you can go down. And a lot of them just don't lead to anything. And you'll be swimming down there and it'll take about, you know, 20 seconds to get to the dead end. And you're like, oh, right, now I'm going to swim all the way back. And that sort of annoys me.
It did annoy me that I'd be like, okay, there's two ways to go. And if I chose the narrative path, it doesn't let you go back to the other path sometimes.
Exactly.
That annoyed me, because then it meant that you could get one of the secrets or you couldn't, because you chose that path. So now you can't. Yeah. You have to choose that first. It's like, but I didn't know that.
I constantly worry about that in any progression-based game, that I'm going to, you know, cross some invisible point of no return without having to
learn
for it.
Yeah.
I don't think games have solved that problem yet.
So that was a bit annoying sometimes. I'd be like, oh, but I wanted to go up that ladder. I chose to go down the ladder instead of up.
Yeah.
And now I can't go back and go up.
Yeah. And there are bits where you'd come, well, at least I came to like T junctions, and I was looking at both paths and I think, right, I have no idea which of these is the critical path. I don't want to go forward. I want to stay around. I want to find all the secrets in this area.
Yeah.
But I have no idea looking at this which way that is.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I never like. The other thing I didn't really like about it was that there's not much innovation there. There wasn't a lot new. It's Limbo again. It's Limbo 2. And, I mean, it's always been sort of designed and pitched that way. I think one of the developers described it as Super Limbo. But it's very tightly designed. It's very well polished, but it doesn't do anything innovative as far as I can tell. There was nothing there that was outstandingly new or interesting. This is a very good sequel to Limbo, but Limbo was 7 years ago. And indie games in particular have moved on quite a lot since then. I think maybe the time for Limbo style games is gone, and this needed to be something new and it needed to be something exciting.
I mean, what it did really well.
Yeah.
So that. but you know, it, as far as I can tell, it did that well in Limbo as well. You know, the aesthetic hasn't moved on particularly. Yeah. They've put more work in it. You know, they've obviously had bigger budget as a result of Limbo, I'm guessing, and I guess Microsoft helped them out a bit. It is exactly what he said. If they've taken one idea and taken it to its... I mean, maybe if it had been a £10 game...
I think it's definitely, it would definitely be worth picking up in a Steam sale or a, you know. I'm not convinced it's a vital purchase, and I don't think I'm not sure it's going to remain in the canon, if you know what I mean, in the same way that Limbo did.
Limbo will and did that.
There we are. Yeah, so that's me getting all my Marvel bailout.
That's why we're here. We're here to argue it off. Yeah. We hardly ever do that. So
no, that's true.
That's good. So the ending.
The ending.
It will probably be remembered for I don't know, people just going, huh? Yeah. I was really surprised by the kind of switch of everything.
I think that's the strongest part of the game for me. I think that was, I really enjoyed that bit.
Yeah.
To clarify what we're talking about, if you haven't played it, stop listening. How many ones do we have?
Yeah. Come back later.
Yeah, come back later for when we say goodbye. get to where you're going, and there's this big sphere-ish tank, and you see all these scientists looking into it. And what I really liked about that bit of the level is that you have to kind of go all the way around the tank and see all the periphery of it before you finally get in and see what's inside. It takes you on a bit of a tour around the on the sides of it. And when you get in there, there's it's a big sort of amorphous ball of
limbs
and people, basically. It's definitely, there's some voices through it, and it's all sealed in with four of these mind control things that you've been seeing throughout the game in various guises. And pull all of those off, thus freeing the creature, which grabs you and absorbs you. And then from the rest of the game, which is the last sort of, not a quarter, I'd say probably about the last sixth of the game.
Yeah.
You play as that big, blobby, physics-based horror. which is interesting.
It is interesting. And then, and it all begins kind of when the girl, the sprite, water sprite thing, kind of sucks you, like pulls you down.
Yeah.
In sort of like Greek tragedy style to the bottom of the water, and then you can breathe underwater.
Yeah,
that's kind of the beginning of the sort of the switch, the gear switch, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that was weird because I hate that girl or those girls.
After that, you're not quite sure what was going on with her. Because, I mean, what she did, she sort of implants you with one of those mind control thingies or something that looks very much like it. And then what you can do with that, which I didn't realize until I read it somewhere else, is that after you have that put in, you don't need the mind control helmet anymore to control people.
Okay.
There's a puzzle later on where they just start joining you and following you around. And
I'll
point it out that I realized, it's actually because you've got one of those things inside you. Yeah, so then so you free it, you become this thing, and then you crash out of the tank and go on a bit of a rampage,
Rampage, yeah, to get out.
which I really loved. Like that moment, I thought was hilarious. I thought that was
Yeah.
really funny. It's a really good release of tension.
Yeah.
Like after the game, which up until this point has been a bit serious, a bit dark, a bit grim,
Yeah.
and then
Yeah.
suddenly you're Godzilla rampaging through a
Yeah.
facility.
Yeah, you can just like you're pretty kind of impervious to damage because you smash through windows and over chairs and off cliffs and whatnot. So yeah, you're just like this rolling, groaning blob.
And to go back to the sound design, I thought one of the things I thought was really great about it was the sounds that you make when you're traveling around this blob. You can hear like the creatures inside sort of like moaning and
Yeah,
reacting to everything you
moaning. Yeah,
do.
just going.
Like, and there's bits where you fall a great distance and sort of go blat on the floor, and you
Yeah.
hear someone inside going, "Oh," like that, which I thought
Yeah,
was
that's right. Yeah, it must have been so fun to do those voices.
yeah.
I did look at the credits, like the people who did the voices of the blob or whatever, which is great. So yeah, so we roll around the facility trying to escape. The people kind of funnel you out and help
Yeah,
you.
some of them are afraid of you. Some of them are pretty obviously on your side, and
Yeah.
yeah, they do give you a bit of a hand, and
Yeah.
I really like those puzzles as well, because that I thought that was very well communicated. When you see one of the scientists, there's that bit where you have to throw the box up to the scientist, and he will activate it for you and throw it back down for you to
Yeah.
grab. And I thought that was a
Yeah.
really nice little bit of a really nice little moment just to cooperate with one of
Yeah.
these people.
Yeah.
And
And when you have to stay back to let him, he's afraid, but he'll do the keypad for you if you stay back out of his way and then he'll let you go.
That was
That
really
was
cool.
another bit as well.
A
Yeah.
very nice little human moment.
Yeah, it was because you were like, oh, what's he doing? And then you go towards him and he's like, yeah, there's this way of communicating and. Yeah, and it's also kind of what was the enemy becomes a sort of an ally, and yeah, it kind of switches everything up and turns everything on its head thematically, and you're just like, okay, so, and then you end up, you roll out of the facility and end up on the side of the lake.
And again, this was so this is the ending shot, and you stop there, and you basically just relax and sort of bask in the sunlight, and then there's an extremely slow, sort of just slow pan out. You say, all right, okay, this is the end of the game, and then the credits appear in the sky there,
Yeah.
and yeah, that was one of the that was actually one of the bits that sort of triggered me to think, oh, this is taking itself a little bit too seriously, because it's a very sort of artsy tableau, classic indie game sort of shot, and oh yeah, I wasn't massively keen on it. It was a little bit of a not a sour note to end on, but it was
Yeah, and there are loads of theories going around about what the story is and this and that.
I mean, what did you take from it? What did you think the story of that was?
Well, I had a look at some of the theories and things, and I think it was just playing with the ideas of reality and freedom. And I suppose, yeah, I suppose it is a bit knowing and gamey, really, because it's like playing, so was the blob in control of the boy and all this sort of thing. We thought we were controlling the boy who was controlling the mindless things, and then it turns out the blob was actually, because it was plugged in and had helmets, so was it controlling everything? And so I thought it was probably playing with stuff like that, and because there's this theory that the whole outside is also inside.
It in what sense? What do you mean?
And so when the blob first escapes from the water tank, it rolls through a sort of tableau. There's a sort of, which is basically the end shot of the game. It's
Oh,
that
right.
hillside and the lake, and there's a spotlight exactly where you end up when you go
I
outside.
did not notice that.
Yeah, so there's this whole theory that it's actually even the outside is inside, hence inside, and
Yeah.
what is reality? And it all goes a bit Matrix.
Yeah, you know, now that you say that, I've changed my mind about what I said earlier. I think I am probably going to play through this at some point again, like when
Oh,
I've got an afternoon
really?
spare, just to watch it and see what I see going through.
See, yeah.
I don't know if this is true. This is my own sort of personal thing, but what I noticed was so you play this young boy character, and he's not like in a super deformed style, but he's got kind of a big head and he's got a small body and he's very sort of chibi styled and a little bit adorable. But all of the rest of the characters you encounter in the game, all the rest of the all the other human beings, they're not in that style. They are in a vaguely realistic proportions. The only what you do see when the bits where you're leading flocks of these other creatures around, where using the mind control helmets. What you do see is that some of them have quite sizable deformities and gigantism of different bits. So I'm wondering if, rather than being a in quotes human like the bad guys are, he is one of those. And rather than being a child, he is just sort of shaped in that way, if you see what I mean.
Okay,
Which,
yeah.
so he's one of them, and the point is that he's getting back to,
He's just trying to get back to them.
yes, and
Yeah.
free the. I mean, I got the idea that that ball was the experiment which spawned all the rest of the creatures, and they all come
Yeah.
from that creature as sort of an origin.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just my interpretation of it. What I did mean to
Yeah.
mention was, for that end section, is like the physics of movement are just fantastic.
Yeah, they are.
Like it
Yeah.
feels really you, it feels like you've got weight. You can smash through.
Yeah.
There are some bits where you run into a wall and it will crack, and you run backwards and get a good bit of momentum up so that you can break it right through, and that just
Yeah.
feels wonderful. And when you squeeze into vents,
I was just about to say that the way that you squeeze through doorways and stuff, and you just like go,
yeah.
you can really feel it. So it is incredible. Really great.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what Playdead do
Yeah,
next
well.
now that they've done that, because that is now totally and utterly done.
Yeah, I don't think they could make another Limbo game now.
No, they couldn't. I mean, it's fair enough that they wanted to take it to that. I think that's okay for them to go, well, we had this idea. Maybe they didn't have the money or whatever to take Limbo as far as
Well, the thing is,
they
I thought Limbo
wanted to.
did a perfectly good job of doing what it did. I mean, inside is more polished, but I don't think it improves on the essential thing that was Limbo.
No, okay. I mean, like I said, I haven't played through to the end,
Yeah, I
so.
mean,
But you don't think it added anything with the whole ending of
no, it
Inside
did.
and
It had that.
like
It
the whole
had
arc sort
more
of.
atmosphere. But Limbo, it originally has, not a twist to that same extent. But there is definitely a developing story that goes on through Limbo, which
Yeah.
hits a lot of the same notes as Inside.
Yeah.
Yeah, I. Well, like I said, the my complaint was that there's not much new to this except that ending, which
Yeah.
fair enough, there is no equivalent to that in Limbo.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's hard to be surprised, or not hard. It doesn't happen very often that you're surprised
No,
to that extent in a game. Because games, they like their tropes and they like well-worn paths, and I like the fact that they just went, yeah, let's become the
I like.
blob.
I do just wish that bit had gone on a bit longer, because it is I think it is by far the best part of the game. And what I really thought was good about it was the way it takes previous puzzle mechanics that you were using as a human character or whatever character you are,
Yeah.
and then just you have to sort of recontextualize them because now you
Yeah,
can't
yeah.
do these things. But
Yeah.
again, and the grabbing mechanic, we are sorry, I'm going all over the place and we are
Oh,
waffling
I
on a bit.
know. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah, we could grab stuff as the
grabbing
blob.
stuff and moving it around just
Yeah.
felt really sort of natural. And, yeah,
Yeah,
well, I
the
don't know
whole
if you call it.
physics of that, because it kind of like rippled over the blob, didn't
Yeah,
it, and stuff.
and like.
And yeah, it was nice. I think, I mean, I forgive it for. I mean, I haven't played Limbo to the end, so maybe I'd be on the same side of the fence as you if I had.
Yeah.
and had repeated it again. And it's like, well, I think there's, I mean, just that last kind of portion of the game alone. And I know, did they have the sort of water element in Limbo as well? Did they
You know,
use that as
I
well?
can't remember. I have a feeling that they might not have, but
Yeah,
it's been a
and
while
I
since I've
think
played.
just those two things, I think, were lovely the way they did them. And so for me, I think I'm okay that Playdead made a second kind of Limbo Mark II that was inside, because I really enjoyed
And
it.
if you haven't played either of them, this is definitely the one to play. This is, again,
Okay, that's interesting.
this is, you know,
Just the polished kind
again, the
of,
developer
yeah.
described it as super limbo rather than,
Yeah,
which I think is
okay,
a really sort
yeah.
of a good
Yeah,
way of
apt.
describing it.
Yeah. Okay, so we recommend it, but we hope they do something really different next time.
Definitely worth a play. If you've played Limbo already, maybe wait for a sale, but it's a
Yeah,
great game, and this is the best version of Limbo that there is.
Brilliant. We shall end it there.
Cool. Yeah,
Okay,
we
Drew.
definitely got some mileage out of that.
Yeah, we did. And until next time,
Yeah,
then.
are we doing anything next time? We got a plan for that episode?
Are we doing Dorito TV?
We could do. Yeah.
Unless something exciting
Yeah.
happens.
Like, we're actually, how far ahead are we now? We're about a month and a half ahead, aren't we, on our
Yeah,
podcast? So,
yeah.
yeah, it'll be a while
I
till we have
mean,
to decide, and maybe there'll be. Oh,
yeah.
wait, there's No Man's Sky coming out between now and
I
then.
know. Yeah, exactly. We might have to throw in an extra one. Maybe we'll throw in an extra Sunday afternoon one or
Right, we
something on
could do.
Dorito TV. Yeah,
Yeah.
because then there is Gamescom coming up as
Yep.
well, and who knows what will happen there.
Oh,
So
we got so much to do.
I
Yeah.
know, so many games.
All right, well, for now then, let's
Let's wrap it.
yes. All right.
See you, Drew.
Cheerio. Thank you for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode of Argue the Toss, and why wouldn't you? You can find us on iTunes. Just search for Argue the Toss. You can also find our RSS feed on our main page at gameindustry.com. If you don't use iTunes and you use another podcast player, that should work fine with it.
We're also on SoundCloud. Look for Argue the Toss. Our host, of course, is gameindustry.com. So you can talk to us via the Twitter page there, which is at Gin Lounge. You can also find us on YouTube. And Game Industry News is also on Facebook, on Google Plus, and all those good social media things. So give us a thumbs up, give us a like, tell us what you like. It's awesome. You're awesome for listening. Thank you so much.